Good evening. We are ready to go. And let me make a couple of announcements. Number one, I want to remind people who are here, the voting meetings are October 23rd, October 25th, and October 30th. At this point, we have a tentative October 30th for the special ledge meeting that we would have to call to make a recommendation to the full legislature for the November meeting on the budget. If we could reach that point by October 30th, that's when we would do a special legislature meeting at the end of the October 30 voting meeting, if we actually, in fact, use all three of those. So I have no other announcements. Kevin, do you have any?
Yeah, I
want to use the microphone, please.
Yes, sir. So if you have any changes or things you'd like to have for motions for changes to the budget, I am accepting them. Put the wrong remote down. Also wanted to say that on the website I will be displaying them as they come in, so we have them, and I'll just point out where it is. It's a county budget link, and in here there are other useful links, 2013 budget documents. There's a bunch of different documents here that might be useful to you as you're looking at the budget and thinking about changes you may want to make. But there's a voting schedule here. Currently has nothing in it, but the idea would be that I'd add the motions and we just kind of go down this rank order for the meetings when they come up.
So in short, what he's saying is amendments.
If you have amendments to motions for amendments, I'll start accepting them, and we'll go down the list on the first day, and we'll stop when we've gotten through all of them.
Question?
I don't have a question. I have a request, Kevin. It took me a while. I ended up having to call Marcia to figure out where to find certain things, and I'm thinking for the public, if they're like the voting dates, if they can just be out there somewhere, that would be helpful.
Okay.
Because I went looking for the budget forum, and it took me a while to figure out where it was. I don't remember who helped me navigate, but just out front would be great.
Okay. Any other questions? So, again, I'll remind you at the end of this that we're accepting amendments all during the process. First group on the agenda this evening is the Animal Control, SPCA. And Jim is right over here. Do you want to come up here, Jim, please? And you have your...
Hi, everyone. Jim Boudreau, Executive Director for the SPCA of Tompkins County. We submitted our PowerPoint back to Kevin, and I did want to put in there the numbers that we've done over the past few years. I don't think we've ever submitted that to you guys in looking back, and that might be the next couple of slides. I'm sorry, I'll go in order. Obviously, the overall impact is we're reducing a significant identifiable risk to the health and welfare of individuals in the county. The program is providing vaccinations, rabies vaccinations, to more than 1,000 cats annually, and also providing spay and neutering cats to those to reduce the pet population as a whole. If you go to the next slide. So again, twofold, controlling unwanted pet population and providing rabies vaccinations. These are the numbers from 2010, 11, and 12. Now, obviously, there's a very large increase in 2012, and a lot of that has to do with the very mild winter we had in coming out of 2011. So I don't know if that's... I don't think that there's a trend there that's typical. It's just been in response to what we've seen in terms of the impact on our shelter and the intake. So obviously we're just very grateful that we're looking to keep the same funding as in years past and not see a decrease.
Questions? Thank you. Any questions? Pat, go ahead.
Are you continuing to do the feral cat spay neuter program?
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
The feral cat...
Yes.
Spay neuter program?
Yes.
Is that still continuing?
Oh, for sure. Yes, definitely. No, that's, again, one of the only ways to really control it. And those cats, if they are kittens that come in from a feral situation and they're at the age where they're still sociable or can be socialized, we would try and keep those and adopt them out. If they're not, they're spayed and neutered, their ears are notched, and they're tattooed for identification, and then released back to where they came from.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Anyone else? Thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you all.
Next item is Human Service Coalition of Tompkins County.
Well, we messed up our PowerPoint, so we just gave it to Kevin for 3 seconds.
All right, well, he's quick.
Can
we move that down there? Everyone has the five pieces or the five slides on the, we've already printed it out on our desk. So.
Oh, there you go. She dropped the slide.
The last slide fell off.
Eight. Major influences?
No.
519. Well, and then the other one's 527. Okay, go ahead. Kathy Schlatter,
okay.
Nancy Burstyn.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Looks like we're going to be a good portion of your entertainment tonight.
We're scheduled for a while, so.
First, I want to thank the opportunity to address the legislature. We actually have three parts to our presentation. That's the order we're going to do it. And then first we'll talk about the Human Service Coalition itself. Then we will follow with the presentation for the agencies that go through our review process. And then Deb Dietrich is here, who's going to give her own little PowerPoint. Deb OAR goes through our process, but she reports to a different committee than Health and Human Services. So she's going to do a little separate one herself. So you can... Okay. This is the coalition budget as a whole. I think in your books the programs are broken out into three, but this is and I'll talk about the major influences for the three of them. But expenditures, that's our total budget, our revenues, and then the net local is the last line. And just as a reminder, that the money we get from the county gives us the stability to have money for a program director in each of the three programs, which then allows the program director to bring in other funds to support the work we do. Okay, so major influences on human service planning. So that is the program that does the review process. And what we have found both through the review process and actually just dealing with the agencies over the years as they really are, we're seeing a real need for an increased level of support. So we actually have a part-time person who runs our capacity workshops, but also spends time going into the agencies, working with the directors and working with the boards directly, which is something we didn't have a couple of years ago, but fortunately for the support you've given us, we've been able to do that. The second one is, so the Human Service Coalition, Human Service Planning, is a lead agency for the Ithaca-Tompkins Continuum of Care. And that is a large committee making up about 20 to 30 service providers in the community that deal with homeless housing for people who are homeless or are in danger of becoming homeless. We've been doing that for about 15 years. There's no administrative funding. We get no funding at all from HUD or anyone else to do this. And for a reason that I'm not exactly sure why, in the past year, HUD has really ratcheted up what they're requiring from this continuum of care. A lot more like 10-year plans and a lot more administrative work. We also write the grant, which brings in about $240,000 a year to support homeless housing in the community. The same person who's going into the work or going into the agencies is also developing. We now do about we train about 700 people a year in our workshops. So far, since the beginning, we have trained over 300 organizations, and we constantly change what we are providing to meet the needs of the agency. So people just can just come to us and say, "I really need this." We will find someone to give the training, and then we always tell them that this is just a snapshot. You know, we're available for follow-up if you need more intensive instruction in your agency. So those are probably the major influences we're seeing in human services planning. Make sure I'm going in the right direction. Information and referral 211. As people probably know or may have heard, that we are now providing 211 services through a contract to Cortland County also. This program has grown tremendously in the past 4 years. We're now doing over 10,000 calls a year. What they're finding, and again, people probably knew, since if you drive by the Women's Community Building, clearly we're not there anymore. We are now in Center Ithaca, and we are experiencing a lot more walk-ins in Center Ithaca. I don't know why we seem more accessible in Center Ithaca than we did the Women's Community Building, but for some reason, we're getting a lot more walk-ins. And there's a place to hang out downstairs, so maybe that has something to do with it. But also, what we're finding that the real stress is that we use a lot of volunteers. We have a couple paid staff, a lot of volunteers, but the complexity of the calls and the walk-ins we're seeing, we can really see where we are going to have to hire more permanent staff to be able to answer all these calls and deal with the walk-ins. So, the other major influence on 211 we see coming up the year, we're really going to have to probably purchase a new database. Finally, after all these years, statewide 211 is kind of coalescing around a single database so that we can share information across the state and so that other places could back up our information if something were to happen here, or we could do theirs if there was an emergency in some other part of the state. So we're starting to look into what that is going to cost us in the future, because that kind of technology, it's not just the initial purchase, it's the ongoing yearly cost of that kind of technology. And Health Planning Council, probably the biggest thing that they are facing in the next coming year is the changes are going to be brought on by healthcare reform. And that's going to be, you know, regardless of what happens in the federal election, New York State is going to move ahead with health exchanges, and that will cause a need for a lot of, I think, education in the community, a lot of pulling health-related agencies together, and how are we going to, you know, get the information out to the people who need it in Tompkins County. The other, the Tompkins Health Network is a program, the Health Planning Council that runs the UrgentRx program. It is the program that helps people who are uninsured try to hook them up with health insurance. It helps people find health prescriptions. I just put that up there because we got an email last week from the state that pretty much said, "Could you just stop spending money for a while? We don't." We seem to have, I believe it was just like a shortfall or something. It's kind of vague about what it was. But so, I don't know. They haven't given an explanation, and they haven't said if anything going forward, what's going to happen to that program going forward. So that'll be something we need to look for. All right, let's see. And these are the over targets request. They were supported by the budget. Increase in just a slight 2% increase, and those were target requests, and then the $30,000 was recommended is a one-time. We've had that $30,000 is a one-time for quite a while now, and that's what supports the support specialist who works with the agencies.
Question, oh, Pat.
Sorry. Sorry. I don't understand.
Apologize.
When you say 2% increase.
Please use a mic, Pat.
Am I not close?
You are. Well, you were.
Okay. Sorry. Increase, the 2% increase,
Increase in what? Is that salaries?
So that's a 2% increase. So if you look in your budget book, the three programs, it should be 2% for all three of them. I don't know why one says up cover health care costs, but that's what we use the 2% increase for. So the top one is a 2% increase in the funding given to human service planning. The second one is a 2% increase for the Health Planning Council. And the third one is a 2% increase for information referral.
So it's a program increase.
Right.
That's not specifically.
I said it wrong. I'm pretty sure. Joe, did you want to?
Well, I think if you look on in section 5, page 21.
Page what?
21.
Page 21. It's the Health Planning Council. I think that begins the series of programs that Kathy was talking about. So there you can see the total amount that the county has provided over time and then the increase that was requested and recommended.
Right. So it's actually three different programs because that's the way it has always been in your books.
Pam.
No, it's not in the handout. It's in your budget book.
It got dropped.
That's the slide that we realized 10 minutes ago got dropped from the
but thank you.
PowerPoint was not so much.
Next, anyone else have their hand? Pam, you have the hand up?
I can give you this.
No. Okay. Peter, then Frank.
So, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you didn't have it.
And Brian Leslie.
I have a couple of questions. One is about the 211 database that you talked about. My question is, what is that? And the other question is, you said it was going to cost a lot of money or something like that, and I wondered, is that in an OTR or not? So those are the two questions. And then I had another question for the county administrator.
Okay, so the first one, the database, is the database we use now, which holds all the information about the nonprofits services available in this county, is a homemade database that we made years ago, and we have tweaked and tweaked and tweaked as the program has grown. It's pretty much gotten to the point now where it's not tweakable anymore. And so we are looking, so we're in the Finger Lakes region. The other two of them to the Finger Lakes region are all going to, it's called iCarol. It's a single database. I mean, it's a program. And we are looking at what the cost of that will be. It is not in an over target right now because we don't know what it's going to be,
okay,
what the cost is going to be. So there's an initial cost, depending on how complicated you get of the package, and then there's an ongoing monthly or yearly cost to get support.
And can I ask my county administrator a question? Joe, what is the point of a one-time, which is repeated so often that she says we've had it for a long time now? What's the difference between that and something that's in target?
Really two things. The first is it gives you an opportunity every year to revisit the question of whether you want to fund it. And second, it was an example of where we just didn't have target capacity to fund it, but believed it was worthy of funding, so we just continued to put one-time money behind it. So again, it calls the question every year. You can choose to stop doing it. It gives you that opportunity. But again, we just didn't have target capacity within our 3.5% levy limit to convert this to a target-funded program.
So what that means is that one time means it's taken from reserves, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Frank.
Thanks, Jim. Kathy, on the 211 program, two questions. It seemed to me that it wasn't too long ago that there was a major upgrade in equipment. Can you say something about that?
211 equipment? I mean, I don't think a major upgrade. We're always sort of keep up with the computers and the database, and it's constant. I mean, the database isn't just, like Kathy said, the nonprofit organizations. It's really all community resources in Tompkins and Cortland County, so it's a lot of information that has to be updated, maintained. I don't think of that. Maybe it was that we were hoping to do a big upgrade, but I mean, in terms
maybe
of the database, it's
possible
been
we talked about it before.
Because I remember Ed was addressing something with regard to that.
He's known that this is coming.
Right.
It's kind of, if you're going to play, if you're going to do, if this is, provide this service, we're getting pressure from our collective to really get the same database as the rest of them so that the sharing of information is
May I ask my second question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you say something about a year or so ago there was an increase in collaboration with the Way to Go program with regard to them handling education and outreach and 211 handling this type of information. Can you say something about how that's going?
The RFP for that is out right now, and we are working with we're working with Cooperative Extension to just exactly do it's exactly what you said. Yep, and I think it's due by the middle of November.
Thank you.
Legend Brian, and then I had Pam. Ask and answer for me.
Leslie?
Ask and answer for him.
I have a couple of quick questions. The Health Planning Council, I'm not sure I understand not what it does, but why does it need funding? I don't understand. Is there a body that does that work?
Betty Falco, who's been the director of the Health Planning Council for probably 15 years, maybe longer, the core funding from the county funds her position.
Thank you.
And then she brings in, the other ones are grants. They're people hired for those grants. But we've got the THN grant for probably 5 or 6 years now, and the Creating Healthy Places grant, the ones that did Streets Alive. That's a new grant. So, but Betty is funded. Betty herself
the position
is funded.
Funded. Thank you. And your over-target request priority number 4 is the one that has to do with the part-time support specialist and the workshop series. And I wonder if there's been any collaboration with even our county HR department, because we do a lot of trainings. We offer a lot. Not that many people show up for them, and I'm wondering if there's some way that we can do some collaboration and reduce the amount of money that
all of our workshops, we send them to the county, and we talk. I mean, you probably know it's Scott Heyman who does these for us, so Scott is very familiar with working.
He checks with the county, the TC3. Any other places, BOCES, I mean, they're doing one on Monday that's collaboration with BOCES. He's always trying to see that he doesn't want to do anything that's already being covered.
Right. We also advertise. I mean, we're kind of at a point now where if you have something and you have some spots open, you know, we could advertise and try to put some people into those spots. We county people come to our trainings. I know he talks with Anita, and I'm not sure if Anita's the one he talks to, truthfully, but, we tried to do the same thing with TC3, Family and Children's, anybody who's kind of offering trainings. We talk about, you know, who's going to do it. So don't duplicate a lot of services.
May I ask a follow-up question? So if the training series that you offer is not funded, do you see a place where, given that Scott interacts with all these folks, that perhaps it can be picked up by other places who are doing some of these trainings already or offering some? I might take some suggestions from you all for ideas.
It wasn't being done before. Mm-hmm. I mean, people did certain trainings, and depending on what their specialties would do, there was... You know, and TC3 did computer trainings, which we don't do. And we started these trainings because what we saw was that agencies, especially as they got smaller and smaller and they lost, some depth in their agency, they really didn't have people who really, knew the stuff, knew the finances, knew the board development, knew that stuff. And when we first started talking about how could we build their capacity, by getting any more money, what we heard back a lot was, look, we don't know that if we can even manage this. Mm-hmm. So we decided to pull back and start training people on, how to grow your agency, how to do fundraising, how to manage. They've been tremendously successful. I don't know where they go. I mean, I don't know anybody who does them. We do one and sometimes two a week, and I just don't know anybody who does them at that level. I'm not saying nobody could. But
I understand. May I ask for some information just on the last few trainings that you've done this year, and you don't have to produce it now. Like, what's the average attendance, and where are some of these people coming from that attend the training?
Yeah, we have all that. We keep all the information.
I'd appreciate it. Thanks.
Sure.
Pam.
You gonna write it down?
Yes, I too have a question about the Way to Go program and developing that relationship. And I'm not quite clear. You are putting out an RFP to them, or are they putting out an RFP to you?
Oh, no. It's DSS who put out the RFP. And Cooperative Extension is I don't know. Other people could be, too.
Okay.
But they are writing the grant, and we will collaborate with Cooperative Extension.
And putting out an RFP. What is the RFP, I guess, exactly for? Educational services?
It's for transportation, coordination, and education. Do I have that right, Ken?
You wouldn't listen.
Okay. Then just nod. Yeah. It's for transportation, education, and coordination. It's been a grant that Cooperative Extension has had now for a couple of years. And this is like a renewal of the Way to Go.
For I see. So this is the money. They're applying for money for Way to Go.
Right.
That will do education and outreach. And is it going to broaden their education and outreach to cover some of the things that you're dealing with? Or is it
so
just
transportation? It's basically around transportation. So there are two components about it. One is, you know, to work with people, to work with employers around education, around ways. I haven't read the whole thing yet, I will admit. Around ways to get people to work, around
okay,
ways
so
to
it's
get
all
people
transportation related.
And because we have a call center, a piece of that grant could be where people could call in, and if they need, you know, where, how do I get from here to here? Where's this? We have people on the phone, so it's a really good collaboration that we can answer the inquiries from the public, and
okay.
You know that we won't do the education. I mean, you talk to people on the phone. But Cooperative Extension, we continue doing the education and working with employers and working with the public.
Thank you.
I have a question. And the fourth slide, that need for more permanent staff, 211 is experiencing more walk-ins and more complex calls. What's a complex call?
A person comes in with multiple needs. So, and a lot of times that they don't, what we find is, the person might come in saying, I need help with my utilities. And then the call center people are trained to kind of probe a little bit and say, so, you know, where are you living and what kind of... Well, so then they might find out that they also have a roof that leaks and no insulation and they need weatherization, or they might also need to know where the nearest food pantry is. And it's just the you know, or they're going to be evicted in the next 3 days and you have to know how to kind of get them... who you need to get them to in order to, you know, work that out. So
okay.
It's just, they're not simple calls like, you know, just where's the nearest food pantry, what time does it meet?
Leslie.
Yeah.
I'm back to the workshop series.
Mm-hmm.
Is this $30,000 to fund the person, or does it also include paying for some of the workshops?
No, it funds the there are three people. There's like a finance person, a program assistant, and then Scott. So it funds part of all three of those that make the workshops work. We take a cut from each person for the administrative piece to, you know, make all the overheads and stuff. And then the trainers get the remaining money. So the money goes to the trainers. And there are agency people who do training, too, and then they can bring that money back to their agency.
Because we do charge fees for the workshops.
Right. We try to keep them low. We try to keep them under $50 for a training so that
I've seen those.
People can afford to go. I think that's why.
Yeah, we utilize that. I'm not sure I followed what you said earlier. I understand that this money, little pieces of it goes to three different people. But is there included in that monies for... the training itself?
No.
No. No, no. I mean, so I don't have the final figures for it. We're trying to break even and have the trainings pay for the...
For themselves.
The,
okay.
Well, they're not going to pay for everything. We know they're not going to cover all the admin expenses and the mm-hmm. advertising and everything. But we're working towards that.
Okay.
But it... No, I think the answer is...
Thank you.
No. Frank?
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Kathy, if we wanted to get a look at the RFP that you were describing, is that something you can send us?
Yeah, I have a copy.
Can you fire a copy? To maybe
sure.
Pam and I'd like to take a look at it.
Sure.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Julie.
Having come in late, you may have already addressed this, so I apologize if you have. I'm interested in... how the wage levels are for you all and for the agencies.
we need a lot more money. No, I'm just kidding. I
could any of them
you
be
know,
calculated?
We certainly. I think that the coalition we do okay. The agencies. Let me just go to the agencies because.
Well, let me ask for the coalition. Livable wage?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, our, yeah.
And the COLA that may be available as one of the OTRs would be what order of magnitude? That's on page 24.
It was 2%.
It was just 2% on the what our target funding was. It's 2% above what our target funding was last year.
Yes, but in reading... what you're going to use it for, it's only part of it for COLA. That's why I wasn't sure.
Oh, right. Oh, it doesn't cover our increased expenses. Our expenses went up. Our rent went up. I don't know about health insurance, but I'm sure it's going to go up. But, right. It wasn't...
So there's no...
So our revenue goes down every year, and the expenses do not. Yeah, so it won't cover our increased expenses, the 2%.
Right. So what is left over for a COLA out of that 2%? That's what I didn't understand. It's a very short description on page, section 5, page 24.
It will go towards, I won't know till I get there whether or not there actually will be money for a 2% raise. You know, so we asked for a little bit to help offset the increased expenses for next year.
All right, talk about the agencies, please.
Most...
Julie, could we wait till we get to the agencies, because that's going to be the second part.
I wasn't sure if I'd missed it. Thank you.
Okay.
I can...
Leslie, you had your hand up.
Kathy, you sort of swallowed this. Did you say your rent increased?
The rent didn't increase so much as the space we needed increased.
The space you needed.
Yeah, because at the Wilmington Community Building, we only paid for the rooms, not the hallways or the kitchen or the bathrooms or the room you went down into. So the square foot cost is actually a little bit lower, but we had to expand because of the need for more space. So mm-hmm. So our total rent is up.
Because of the expansion.
Because of the
we now have a meeting
space.
Room. That's Woo-hoo. Big enough to handle a lot of our meetings in-house. So we were paying rent, even the Women's Community
yeah.
Building, we were paying rent to have
to pay
even our board meetings and things like that. So we can, that helps a lot. It's busy mm-hmm. room and it's...
Right. We laugh. We have 17 staff, and the meeting room we had only fit 8, so only half the staff could come to staff meetings, which was okay with them. Everybody fought over who was the one not to have to come to the staff meeting that time. But
thank
now,
you.
Fortunately, they can all come.
Are so. There any more questions for the first 6 slides? And then if there isn't, we can move on to the agencies. Okay, go ahead, Kathy. HSC community agencies, and you all have that.
All right, let me just switch my notes here. All right, the first few slides, and if you probably have copies of these, we just listed the 17 agencies that go through our review process, just for a FYI. I'm not going to read all about them. I know that there is a feeling that they're always the same agencies. We have added one dropped off. A couple more have come over the past 5 years. But for the most part, they've stayed pretty steady. Okay, so I will just quickly go through. I'm going through too fast. And OAR, once again I say OAR actually reports to public safety, and not Health and Human Services, but does go through the review process. I told them she could come yesterday. So I just wanted to, these are the members of our review committee. These people meet for about 3 months. They do site visits, they review applications, hear people come in and talk, and then they deliberate. We were a little behind this year because we actually moved in April, but we got it all in. Okay, so this is the funding for the agencies. So the revenues are, the line in the middle are the city funds. The top is the total. The line in the middle is the city portion of the funds, and the bottom line is the net local or the county funds. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about some of the impacts that the major influence which we've seen. And I mean, it's kind of hard when you have so many. When you have 17 different agencies, clearly they're all different and they have different needs. So I'm going to try to kind of lump some of the themes we've seen. Pretty much across the board over the past 4 years, the funding is down, both at the federal, state, and locally also. This is the first time we've really actually heard agencies say that not just local funders, but individuals are giving less than they had been giving before. So I don't know if that's just trickle down and people can't give as much. And the other thing we're finding is this kind of uncertainty about, is my state funding going to be there? Is my federal funding? What's going to happen to the federal budget? And I appreciate the fact that locally it was really stable this year. But because what we're seeing is that kind of instability is causing instability in staffing. People have let people go over the past 4 years. There's not a lot of depth in the agency. If people are seeing that there might be funding, not people have to look for their jobs, and they might look elsewhere for jobs. So causes a lot of turnover. We had 5 new directors this year. One of the agencies, one of the new director has left, and there will be a new director, a second new director in the past year at Catholic Charities. And I did want to point out, too, of the 17 agencies that go through, 13 of them have 8 or fewer staff, and 10 of them have 4 or fewer staff. So these are not big agencies. They do a lot of work with a few people, but you can understand there's no backup. If somebody leaves, you know, then it's like totally training somebody else all over again. The demand for service, we heard, it continues to grow. People just said it's just pretty steady, at a steady pace. Some of the things we were told is the more seniors. There are more seniors in the community, more people who are needing housing repair. Better Housing has the repair program for seniors. And when I talked to John Spence, he was telling me the state continues, this has happened about 3 years in a row, to cut the Rural Preservation Administration funds, which is what they use to support their staff. Women's Opportunity was told finally that they were going to get back $100,000 in the funding. If you remember from last year, the state just slashed all their funding. And what ended up through a glitch somewhere is that they only end up getting $25,000 of the $100,000 that they were promised.
But Dami is on it.
Yes,
she's
she
working
is.
On it. She'll work on it up until the last minute.
That's that third bullet that we find the directors are spending a lot more time in Albany fighting for their funding. The food pantries. We've heard the food pantries are constantly running low on food. They're doing food drives. The Emergency Food and Shelter Program, which we all know is FEMA, we administer that program locally, And the money usually comes in, the federal money comes in somewhere around January or February. They tell you where we're getting. We're still waiting to hear this year. You're supposed to, it comes in January or February, they ask you if you'll have it spent by November. And we don't even know what they're going to allocate this year. So the programs that depended on that money for food have just been waiting. They're, you know. Catholic Charities, they said they see pretty much 20 new households per month, seeking services. They had one thing they told me, they had a five-year grant that they were very excited for, immigrant service program. The federal government just said they suspended it after 2 years, they stopped the grant, and then said they had an opportunity to reapply for a different grant, competitive grant, that they would be competing against New York City for. So they wrote the grant, they hope they get some money, but the program that they had up and running thought was going to go for 5 years, they just stopped funding. CDRC was another agency that last year had reduced its staff by like 80%. So one of the things they did, they've gone to a four-day work week. They have three or four staff left that are still covering a couple counties, but they've cut back the type of services they can do and the number of days they work. Neighborhood Legal Services, which is one of the over targets you'll see when we get to that, because of changes in their funding, they ended up losing one full-time attorney and they had an attorney, an AmeriCorps attorney that also
partially AmeriCorps
funded left. And as Greg tell you, while they're seeing foreclosures, unemployment and evictions continue to go up. So these are the over target requests that were supported by the budget. I'm going to start from the bottom. That's the $10,000 that supports the AmeriCorps at Neighborhood Legal Services. These used to be multi-year one-time grants, and we all decided that we were going to stop the multi-year one-time grants and just call them one-time grants. So this would have been year two of what had been a three-year multi-year grant that you okayed last year. I didn't explain that very well. The $20,550 is one-time funding that to support so the Neighborhood Legal Services can hire back an attorney, combining with some other funds they think they have now, so they can bring another attorney on staff and see what happens with the judge, New York State. Who's
Chief Judge Littman.
I'm sorry, I know I forgot that, is really fighting with the state to bring funding back for Neighborhood Legal Services in this coming budget year. And there's a little $3,000 to support Southside. They had a turnover in directors. They're really looking to do some after-school and daycare programs there, which we think would be great for the neighborhood, so we gave them a little boost on that. So those were the three OTRs, and I think I can go
question.
Back.
I have Pam, Peter, Frank. And Dooley, you got your hand up?
I think it was me instead of Pam.
No, I had my hand up too.
Dooley, Pam.
No. Go ahead, Pam.
Go.
Peter, Frank. Okay. I just, from hearing you talk about these agencies, it feels as if all of them are just slowly shrinking and at the point of no return in some cases. And I don't know if that's true, but I think it would be helpful to really see what has happened, the number of people that have been laid off by each agency, or a percentage of their staff that have been laid off in, you know, the last 5 years or something, whatever time frame you want to look at it. Because, I mean, we really count on these agencies, and we all know that the state, that money is disappearing, but I think that we don't really completely understand what is happening with these small agencies. And, I mean, I hear you say those things, but I think looking at some figures might help. I mean, I think it sounds to me like it must be pretty dramatic in terms of what has happened. And I think that we need to understand that, because there's going to come a time or point in their financial situation that they really are not going to be able to provide the services. And they probably already aren't. But I think, you know, you have come in for the last several years and you've talked like this. And
it's been bad years.
And this has been bad years, and this is the reality. But I think that we need to understand how bad it is, because I just get this feeling that it's really quite bad. And we have this illusion that in Tompkins County we are agency rich, and that we have a good safety support network. And I think probably relative to many counties that is true. But that doesn't mean that we're doing what we need to do, what the need is. And I mean, and we all know that the need is increasing, that it's not decreasing. So we are just having this disproportionate direction and situation developing. So I would find it helpful, and I know you don't. I know you don't have a lot of time, but and perhaps it's something that
we have that information going okay. back. We ask every year how many staff and. I think that what I wanted to point out was how small these agencies are.
Right.
And the work that they're doing with small staff. And they've kept, I mean, some of the agencies had huge cuts. They just got drastically cut. And they've kept sometimes they play with the hours depending on the funding too. But we'll get that for you. We'll show you. I mean, it's just the nobody's funding has gone up. Maybe that's a nice way to say it. I mean, they've taken little cuts and little cuts and little cuts. They've laid a person off here, a lot of people off here. But they're still doing the work. They're still, you know, bringing the people in.
Well, if the assumption is that probably the demand for their services has increased and that or stayed the same, and they, you know, if you have a small staff, if you have a staff of five, and you have to lay off one person. I mean, that's 20% of your staff. It
right.
just, you know, it doesn't.
And then they lay off any kind of support.
Right. I mean,
person they have, and that's what.
And those are huge cuts for an agency, a 20% cut.
I talked to one person who said they have a job and they can't fill it, and I was like, in this environment, how can you not fill a job? And now I don't. Didn't get into it too deeply, but then when you look at what they're demanding, it was another three-person agency, and the salary, and then you think, well, you know, so we had a long talk about, you know, how you might have to, you know, tamper down your expectations if you want somebody in, and maybe you can't do everybody 24/7 this and. You know, outreach and, you know, counseling and you know, really, I think it's been hard for agencies to really say, wow, this is all I can do anymore. This is where I have to bring it back to, and this is what I can do until times get better. Or the other thing, and Frank and I talk a lot about this, is that I've been really heartened to see is I was just talking the past 2 days to people, like two of the grants I've seen go out were great collaborations between when I talked to Mary Pat, you all know Mary Pat, who was the interim director of Catholic Charities, she said they rewrote this grant, and they're bringing in Tompkins Learning Partners and BOCES and TC Action. So not just, it does two things. When you bring collaborations in like that, you actually can get a bigger grant into the community. But it also kind of ties the smaller agencies to the larger agencies that might have some support that they can offer it's ongoing support. It really solidifies those connections, and I think that's happening a lot.
And the last two or three grants that we've received at the Human Services Coalition were collaborations with multi-agencies
right.
involved, maybe three or four or five. And there's basic belt tightening, like everyone has done in agencies too, and utilizing volunteers to the best ability in that. It doesn't.
But great, yeah. Women's Opportunity Center and Challenge. collaborated on a grant together in BOCES. You know, people are really starting to kind of look where they can bring people in, and I mean they did it before. They've always done it, but really in innovative ways now that can, you know, I'm going to bring this grant and I can this money, but I'll have the financial. You've got the financial people that can do the reporting, and we'll do this. So that's been really a positive term. But we can get you that information.
Pat, you had your hand up, and it was about the sound, right?
Well, at first, Pam, when you first started talking, your head was turned toward Kathy, and I couldn't hear you because you weren't speaking into your mic. But then you changed. That was better.
Pat, I have some other. Are you going to ask a question?
I do have.
Okay, I have some other people before you, but
okay.
All right, and Dooley. Yep.
My question may be for Joe, but it may be for you, Kathy. I don't know. I think I heard you say that we had a pattern of having multi-year one-time grants, and we're not doing that anymore. Was that your decision to not ask for that?
Heavens.
Okay.
Here comes the boom.
It's just easier to keep things straight when we call them one time.
Well, sure, it's easier for you. But what I'm thinking about is that we recognized that we weren't adding it to the tax levy by calling it one time, but we were assuring the agencies that they would actually have funding for several years. So I'm sorry to hear that that you wield so much power.
Well, you vote for it. You have to vote for it again every year. So it's
but that's
it. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
He said it would make his life a little easier.
No.
Maybe
not.
No. That was it.
I have Peter Stein, Frank Leslin Pass.
I don't really have any experience with these agencies, and I know very little about them, but just a thought that occurred to me. In a time when you find a constant drawing down of the resources, and you have so many independent agencies, I just wonder, at some point, it's better to do 10 jobs well than to do 20 half-assed. And yeah. I just wonder whether you had thought, I mean, I realize that a lot of these agencies have histories and they have different boards and so forth, but in a time of decreasing resources, have you thought of trying to reorganize so that to put together, ideally one, but maybe two or maybe five or something like that, agencies that would be conglomerations of other groups to make it possible to be more flexible when you have to actually get rid of programs? Just a thought.
I think you asked a question in there.
Yeah, I have. Had you thought about it?
After the half-assed comment, but go ahead.
We have talked about that a lot, and there are people. People who are large proponents of larger agencies. I think even the proponents of larger agencies agree that it does not initially save money, particularly. I mean, a lot of smaller agencies, you know, it's not like they're. You would still need the same staff if you were providing that service. You know, people talk. I can't do that. That's up to boards. I do talk to agencies about maybe it would help you if you went under another agencies. I think people stopped for a while. I'm going to tell you this. For a while, people kept saying, oh, you've got to merge. Basically, what I'm saying now is it doesn't have to be a merger. You don't have to lose your identity. You don't have to lose your donor base. Just call it things like, you know, a strategic alliance or a collaborative. And so what I'm seeing is agencies are like, well, maybe, you know, larger agencies reaching out to the smaller agencies saying, you know, we could do your funding for you. We could do your HR for you. We could do parts. But I actually think there is, what I find is people who get involved, they volunteer, they give money because they are really vested in that mission of that particular agency. I'm not sure that they would be as vested in large conglomerate agencies, but I could be wrong. There is a lot of talk about that, actually.
Okay, just a follow-up comment. I never thought of it as something that would save money. I don't believe it would save money, but the way of making decisions as to what program should you be funding. I mean, if you have a small agency and you have sort of one program, there's no way you can say, well, I'm going to cut what I do. But if you have a larger group of people that have got three or four different programs and together they work together, they could decide at some point we have to eliminate this program, but the agency still remains doing this, three programs instead of four. That's what I was thinking about.
Right. I mean, I've talked to some directors about cross-training with other agencies. You know, if you both do a certain type of youth service or something, maybe you could share. There's nothing like a lack of funding to get people to be creative.
Okay.
And,
I have Frank.
Thanks, Joe. Peter, just as an example of the collaboration or the consolidation, let's call it collaboration, PRI and the Nature Center about 2 years ago came together and are working very well right now, but it was precisely to address the type of thing you were talking about. And I think the agencies really... What we're seeing, I think, and I have a question, but what we're seeing, I think, is what basically Pam was asking the question about the staff and staff monies to pay salaries. What we're seeing is that the donor base in all these agencies or who was funding them or helping fund them, they're having a tough time with employment also. So the funding from fundraising or donations, we had a presentation from FoodNet because they're hurting because the donations that they had been receiving have shrunk dramatically. We approved some money around this table here a couple of weeks ago to help them out. But in the old days, I think what we're seeing is people that are in paid positions are transitioning to what we call volunteers, because the agency has to decide whether they're going to perform the service, collaborate, consolidate, or do as Kathy said, come together in some way, or pay staff. And you do have a lot of very dedicated people in these agencies. And in order to continue to provide the service, that's a big decision that has to be made. Do you volunteer because you have a professional credential or whatever that could be helpful, or do as you were just describing, somebody does fundraising, somebody does finance, somebody does, and you kind of mix and match. One question that I had two questions. One regarding CDRC. The Community Dispute Resolution Center, from what I read, is shrinking to 4 days a week, from what I read up there.
Monday through Thursday.
They had, if I remember right, they also had an office in Tioga County.
Yeah, I can't answer whether they're that fifth day of the week. I don't.
Well, what I was wondering is, I assume Tioga County was, like we fund through the monies that we give you to redistribute. Do you know if Tioga County is also funding them? I don't think any of the Tompkins County money is going into Tioga County. Okay.
I can find out how much if you want.
The second question is that last item. Isn't AmeriCorps a federal program?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, AmeriCorps is a federal program.
Please use the microphone.
The reason I'm asking, Craig, is we were treated to a presentation at Human Services yesterday. You sat through some of it from Joe with regard to mandates and how NYSAC is addressing mandates and what they need to do at the state level. Here's a federal program that's shrinking or maybe non-existent anymore. And now we may have to make up funding because the feds are pulling money. We also heard the home improvement, or no, I'm sorry, the not home improvement, the
REP.
the RAP program, mm-hmm. because of some gyration between the feds and the state not coming across, you're talking about home repairs.
Yeah.
The RAP program is gone because the state's not funding it. So there's a lot of places.
Which will lead to more repairs.
Yeah, exactly. So what I'm curious about is do you, Craig, do you think this AmeriCorps program, is that part of the farm bill? Are they getting money through the farm bill?
No, it's a separate allocation from the federal government to the AmeriCorps program. But then AmeriCorps has a number of different programs. So there are nationally funded AmeriCorps projects. We're not one of those. We were initially 9 years ago when this started. We started our Access to Justice project. They were funding two AmeriCorps positions in our office. Then the federal agency that reviews those didn't approve our application for the next round, but passed us on to the state agency that approves AmeriCorps programs. Each state has their own agency that takes AmeriCorps funding and then passes it on to agencies. That's the State Office of Family and Children Services reviews our applications now. The state has actually bumped us up so that we're getting four AmeriCorps positions in our office to do the Access to Justice project. These are generally people with paralegal degrees or people right out of college or people changing careers who are looking to donate their time for a year. AmeriCorps provides a living stipend that is, I think, about $13,000 a year. We supplement that a little bit, so we bring our first year AmeriCorps up to $14,000 a year. Second year, people, if they renew, get $16,000 a year. And we've had a number of people renew for 2 years. This year, I've got two second-year people renewing for a third year. And our policy is just to give them another $16,000 for that third year. But because the job market is tight and they enjoy what they're doing here, they're providing all of our intake and outreach services to deal with clients. So our regular staff consists of myself, one other full-time attorney, and two part-time attorneys, and a staff paralegal. Obviously, having four AmeriCorps-funded paralegals come into the office to help with intake, outreach, and actually representing clients at hearings helps immensely. The fifth AmeriCorps position, the other attorney slot we lost, was a law graduate fellowship program that a program in Washington called Equal Justice Works was running. So they funded our volunteer coordinator, her job for the past 6 years. We had that running here. That was a volunteer and law student intern recruiting program. So she worked quite closely with Cornell and with other AmeriCorps fellows in several of our other offices to recruit law students to work in all the legal aid programs in upstate New York and to do recruiting, training, supervision for those folks. And she did some casework in our office. So she was also supervising our pro se divorce program. So we've lost that the person who was doing that because Equal Justice Works lost half of their AmeriCorps slots. And we're not sure what's going to happen with AmeriCorps next year. The federal AmeriCorps program has redefined their priorities, so they're not going to fund any people who are in positions like the ones we have. We're not sure if that's going to pass on to the state. So we're still going to have to deal with another state AmeriCorps application process for next year. We're not sure what's going to happen with that. So we've been using those folks technically they're subsidized volunteers, but they've also been recruiting additional volunteers, either students or attorneys or whoever else they can get in the community to come in and help out.
Leslin.
Thanks.
Thank you. Got it?
Thank you. Greg, don't leave. You might be able to help me out here. These are real simple questions. Could you tell me what percentage of this county funding for the attorney position? What percentage of the total cost for the attorney is this $20,550?
We're estimating to replace the attorney we lost at her prior existing salary would be about $50,000. So this would be about 40% of that.
About 40%. And I think Frank asked a question about the AmeriCorps, so I'll save that one. All right, never mind.
Could you answer it again?
And I have a follow-up. Another question, not for you, Greg. This funding for the Southside Community Center over target requests, why is that here? I thought there was already the sales tax agreement in place, and if a certain amount comes in, they get whatever the percentage is. Is this beyond the sales tax agreement?
That's true. They were originally with the sales tax agreement, and back a few years ago, they came to our process for some additional funding, and okay, we probably should have gone back and looked harder at the original agreement, but there was some city sales tax increase that year, and it seemed like a good fit at the time for our committee to say, well, it's a city, you know, organization, and it would be good. And now, and it's sort of, it doesn't get a lot through this process, but it does get a little more to help boost some of the programming. And there's been some revitalization, I think, of the center in the last couple of years. And now with the new director, that was why they put in this time. They thought to give it a chance, you know, to see what can be done to have it be more, productive, you know, for the community. But you're right. It is in two places in your budget. It is. Yeah.
Okay, because this says that covered by the adjusted increase in the sales tax agreement, and so I'm just asking, is this covered by that?
That up there showed that, well, it was up there, that the chart that Kathy referred to that had the local share, which is the county portion, and then the part that's called revenue is the city, and it's about I don't know the percentage, I was going to do it before I came, it's around 38% or something is city sales tax, which does go back to the agreement, which is distributed through all these organizations.
Right.
Which is separate. At the same time, there was a separate line for Southside that was created at that time. And not many of us can remember exactly how all those decisions were made when it was first started, but they were in there with an amount, that, and they have been since the sales tax agreement started.
I'm not sure. I've got a couple other questions, Jim.
Okay.
I'm not sure that I got that answer.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask this a different way. There's a sales tax agreement that includes the Southside Community Center. And so there's monies that automatically go. Is this $3,400 outside of that? You're asking for separate monies?
It's, okay, there's only one, okay, maybe, Kathy said this would happen because I'm probably the only one left breathing that remembers it. Maybe not, I don't know. The whole sales tax agreement had a few different pieces. One of the pieces was towards the Human Services Coalition, the agencies that we review. Some of it was for transportation, some of it was for youth services, and there was a small amount assigned to Southside Community Center as that original sales tax agreement, and that's been in place for now maybe 15, 16 years. But just recently, in the last 3 or 4 years, they've been getting a small amount of this piece of the sales tax agreement through our process. But it's the same sales tax agreement. It's just a different line of the. I don't know if I'm saying it right.
Can I put it differently? Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the amount that they get through the original sales tax agreement is still there.
Yeah.
This is additional money.
Yeah.
They came to us a couple years ago.
And the way you are funding that is through your sales tax allocation.
Right.
So the base amount is preserved.
Yes.
This is in addition to.
Right. That's it.
So why is it here as an over-target request for us? I'm not sure.
No, it isn't. It isn't. It's actually that piece, that $3,000 is the one-time city sales tax that's part of the – we already have it. There's nothing to even vote on. It isn't really an over-target.
Okay.
Really.
It's in a recommendation.
It's there. It's – yeah. I mean
– okay, that's why I was confused. my other question does have to do with the city budget just came out. Or the mayor's budget, and a number of the human services agencies are not being funded. So are we picking up that the city isn't funding anymore? Because I know there are cuts to a number of them, including the Southside Community Center that's in the budget right now. I don't know if it'll be put back. So it's not that we are picking that up.
I didn't look at this year's list, but most of the organization, when I started doing this, there was a separate process for the city and a separate process for the county, and when it went together, and then with the sales tax agreement, the agencies don't line up and go to the city to argue the case. It's all done through here with the contracts made through the county. But there are some situations where some agencies have gone to the city directly
right.
also, and I think Southside, again, is a one of those. They have a special relationship with the
right.
city. Most of these, I don't think, are in the city.
Funded by the city.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a separate process from that. Okay. I might have a few more.
Pat.
Move on.
Thank you. I have a request for the way you do the presentation of just something that would be helpful to me, and that would be I would like to see the number of FTEs for each one of these agencies and a summary of that someplace in here that's easily found. I was able to find the FTEs by going through page by page by page on each agency, but a summary that would have it right there where we could look at it would be very helpful, and any change from year to year, so if their staffing goes up or goes down, it would be easy for us to see that. Then the question...
On that same question, though, just so I understand, what the trick with this is, though, that we... The funding here to different degrees pays for a certain percentage of the FTEs in these different agencies. And some agencies that are small, it might be a large percentage. And other ones, it could be a very small percentage. So when you say you'd like to see the number of FTEs per organization, do you mean all of their FTEs, no matter who funds them, or what FTEs would be partially supported by this money? I mean, it's a big difference.
We wrestle with this question
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, it's and along that same line, I do want to mention before I forget, which is related to the FTEs, we do our salary and benefit survey of nonprofit organizations every couple of years, and the most recent two, I think, reports are on our website. Now, they don't identify organizations by name, but they do have positions and the average salaries that are paid and the benefits too, which we also collect. But I don't know, that's a little up, but I want to remember to say that it's on the Human Services Coalition website. But I don't know if I maybe you're not sure which one you want either for the FDEs.
I guess I'm not sure because I didn't think it was a complicated question. I was thinking of the full FTEs, the full number of FTEs for each agency is what I was thinking of.
If you think something like OAR, I mean, almost everyone in OAR would be funded pretty much, but just about all from the county. Another, I'm trying to think of something else that could be a very small...
Yeah, let me talk a minute. If you look in your book, Advocacy Center uses its money to support the entire program.
What page
program.
Are you on?
I'm on page 31.
I would just like
Section
to know...
Section 5, where Red Cross only uses it for the Friendship Center. So they report different. We report to you different FTEs depending on what the funding is used for. But we could get you something that would...
Joe, you were going to make it.
I can talk to you about that after then.
Yeah.
Excuse
me, Pat.
But I do have a question.
Oh, all right.
Okay. I'm basing this on the assumption that each one of these agencies has some kind of an intake process when a person comes to take advantage of their services, and they have to screen that person, or that family, if it's a family. Has there ever been any attempt to have a cooperative or a collaborative kind of intake process so that if someone comes and is in need of services and they come to one particular agency that they could then be sort of screened in general as to what other agencies they might.
So you should ask that. I actually have an answer for that. We started talking about a universal intake
10 years.
Probably 15, longer than that. At that time, and I'll try to make sure, people were really worried about the confidentiality, the firewalls. Now, we've kind of gotten past that, and I think part of that is because people are so used to giving out information now to everybody. What I find out now, and when we did the rapid rehousing, 211 did a combined intake for the five agencies that were involved. People called 211, we just screened and then sent them on. But most agencies I've talked to about that said, it's not just the intake. When we do the intake, we form a relationship with the person who's coming in. And it gets us talking to the person, and they didn't actually want to give up that intake. Process because they felt it was beneficial to them as the worker and to the person looking for services.
And those were all.
I'm not saying that it couldn't. I had that same thought. Well, wouldn't it be great? And we tried everything. It's like, well, people could carry a card and they'd have all their information on a card. And then when you went into an agency, you just give them the card and it would have, I don't know, like a credit card or something. It would load it all on. But people were like, they didn't think that was.
And that was for housing related intake. And this, our 17 organizations that we work with, it really are quite a variety of. Kind of services that are provided.
If there's
kind
any
of information
healthcare
that they
stuff,
need.
They people just like, well, you know, can't share any health information. It's really, it is a question we've been, grappling with for
Thank
years.
Mike.
I was interested in the slide that talked about the review group that you have.
Oh.
And
mm-hmm.
you listed their names and said they worked over a period of 3 months. And my hat's off to them. And I was wondering how that group comes about. How are they appointed or volunteer? And I don't envy them the job, but having served on this legislature and seen the budgets for years and years, I can remember mm-hmm. when we would go through over targets for every agency from $600, let's say, to $10,000 or $12,000. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us didn't understand what the particular agencies were all about. Or some had some familiarity and others didn't. So I really think what you do and what that group does for us, we really need to say thanks for that. So I just kind of wondered if you could tell us a little bit about that and how they work.
Sure. The group is anchored by, at least we always try to have two, I think this year we had three, of the coalition board members on it. So there's some continuation of the process. And then the other members of the review committee, I can't say people really come and volunteer, but we ask that people who are interested in being the review committee know something about the human service world. We find it really helpful, have some idea of budgets. We've had finance people on. We try to get actually someone who knows a great deal about finances because people are better or worse at reading budget sheets, balance sheets, so someone who can kind of explain the balance sheet to the group. We try to get a cross-section people, cross-section ages. We try to get diversity on our committee. People have come and gone. We don't necessarily kick people off there. We have a few people who have been on for a long time, who've been on for probably 10 years or more, and then we have new people who seem to come on. We try to do 7 to 9 people. We find anything bigger than that, it gets impossible to schedule any kind of meetings if it's too big or bigger than that. So,
partly we start with the people with the interest, and then this year, as Kathy said, was a little different because we were moving kind of in the middle of it. But we try to, they really get a lot out of, I think, the site visits. We try to visit agencies, not every one every year, but to go and get a feel for the organization, meet some of the staff, see the facility. And then they have conferences with maybe a third or two-thirds of them every year to discuss budget and ask questions. And then they meet together, too, as a group, and, of course, they review the material and they do their homework. They read all the material. We get a lot more information collected than ever gets turned in here. And, you know, we think then they're very serious about it and try to really review and make the best use of the resource. And the idea is how to make the best use of the resources that are available through this process. And they're good.
They're good.
I can say they're good. And we have some good.
We feed them.
Yeah. Yeah, we feed them. We give them mini bagels.
Food's important.
But do you advertise for when you have vacancies? Or
do we advertise? No. I mean, it's not that I don't think we've ever had anybody come and say I'd like to be part of your review committee.
But
we could.
If you have a vacancy, how does someone come on to that? How does the word get out that we've got a vacancy and you've got a vacancy?
Sometimes they come on through other committees we have, people that we know. We know that they have a certain amount of knowledge. We know that they understand the process.
So you approach people? Right?
Yeah, we do approach people, yep,
okay.
And ask them if they'd be interested.
You can say approach, you can say arm twist.
We also, people on the committee will bring in people they say, you know, this is somebody I know I think would be good for the committee. That's pretty much how we've done it.
Joe, I have Leslin, Will, Joe, did you? You okay? No. Leslin, go ahead.
So Mike brings up a good point, and I do want to ask, do you find it difficult for people to serve on the review committee?
Oh, I should say one thing I did say. We don't allow anybody who has any affiliation with any of the agencies that we fund private funding. So that really eliminates a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry. So your question, do we find it difficult?
Is it difficult to get people to
say, over time, I can say it's changed. And because originally, it seemed like more people were available that had some free time and more flexible hours.
It's
harder now, and mm-hmm. we do end up with people who either they're not employed, mm-hmm. which is much less likely than it used to be, or have the kind of a job or position where they have flexible time that they're able to put in the extra time mm-hmm. and not have the connection that's
with it.
So it kind of leaves us with county employees who somebody will give them time off to do that, mm-hmm. or the colleges.
Mm-hmm.
We have someone from Ithaca College and Cornell who it's release time that they're willing to let them do that. So it has to be either somebody who's not working or somebody with an employer who's very understanding about.
We used to have a lot of real estate agents. They seem to have flexible schedules. But, I mean, it does vary. Or sometimes retirees, which is okay. We get people that are, we do notice when people retire that maybe we can approach them and say, well, now you have a little more time, maybe you could do. Unfortunately, sometimes it's the winter time. It might be earlier in the season when they're traveling. But we're always looking for ideas to get some new people. And we're happy to have suggestions if you think of anyone you think we should approach.
Leslin, did you have another question?
I did. That just triggered something else for me. As part of your review process, we were talking in our Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee just around all the agencies that we fund and how are we holding them accountable to their commitment to diversity and inclusion, what's going on, et cetera. And is that part of your review process that you ask those questions?
We actually asked that as a question on our application. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly how, but you know, how do you make sure that your services, I'm going to say this wrong, that your services are open to everybody in the community, and how do you reach out to people? You know, do you check to see if, you know, who you're serving, who you're not serving, and how do you reach out? And I stole something from Kirby Edmonds, who explained it, and I just lifted it and put it in the question.
So I'd be curious to see it. I hear about services, but I wonder what it is around their staffing. I know they're all small staff, but what was around staffing and around recruitment and hiring?
Yeah, the question is mostly about the services and not so much about staffing.
So I'd be curious to see that, because I'm seeing that a lot of our money probably goes towards supporting positions or people and jobs. So I'd be interested in just seeing what the questions are that are asked there. And then my other question has to do with the other agencies that don't have over-target requests or anything like that. Going forward, I see that each of them have some increase, you know, that you've I'm supposing that this increase, like the Advocacy Center and the rest of them, no over-target request, is coming from some pot that you got, you've allocated.
So the ones that, people request, we actually brought a chart to pass out, I mean, when to pass it out, that shows what the agencies requested and what the recommendation was.
Okay, because I was wondering where that was.
Yeah, it's here. And we can pass it.
I didn't see it.
Okay. Sometimes we can do that, sometimes we don't. So we look at all the requests. We do have an increase from the city sales tax that we can fund some of them with. Mm-hmm. Some of them didn't get funded because the group just decided that either there wasn't enough information about. Mm-hmm. We do try to go back to the agencies with requests. We meet over like a two-week period, so if there's questions, we go back to the agencies. If we still can't get what we consider good enough information, mm-hmm. We give that as feedback, but we usually don't request. And, you know, we try to be reasonable. We understand that your pot of money is not limited, also, is limited. Or possibly.
We appreciate that.
That was a Freudian slip. So that, you know, if there are huge requests.
Okay. Just a follow-up to this. And in our budget books, what I see as 2012, maybe this is a question for Kevin, on those agencies, is the actual net local share that they received in 2012. So if I were to look at the Alternatives Venture Fund, 11,916 net local, is that county? That's us? And that's the actual for 2012.
Based on the program impact assessment forms they hand back to me, that's the information. The net local is the contribution we've made.
So the follow-up, so 2013, Alternatives and the VITA program again has 13,916. That was what was the whatever $2,000 increase is what you all recommended, Kathy and Nancy.
Sorry, see, our chart looks like this. Your chart doesn't have quite as many.
Okay. I like your chart.
Why don't you like mine? Because we have all these.
So what page are you on in the book?
I'm sorry. I'm on 531. I'm just, because the rest of the agencies going forward, I'm just looking at them. There's usually more information about how much we...
There was an adjustment for Alternatives. When they initially submitted the information, the program impact assessment form was off by $4,000 for that agency. So really, they got $17,000. So the page is incorrect on that for Alternatives. But there aren't any other ones that are. That all the other ones should be correct. So that
okay,
page
I just happened to put that one as an example.
Kevin and I did realize, and some of this problem is we start this process with our applications going out in March, April, May, and then we collect more, and we get the impact statements, we get more, and then things change, and then so. Exactly, and some of it in here is really wrong. It was almost like a snapshot. So the numbers that we have with all of our detail rows and this one that we gave you is actually
where we're at right now.
Where we are. Yeah.
Right. But it doesn't include this year's funding. It just includes the
request
for next year.
No, but the green sheet is with the request for, yeah, this is it showing the only what they asked for 2013 and what was recommended for 2013.
Right.
And you'll see a lot of people didn't ask for an increase, even though we did say it's looking like a little better this year, because I think for the last few years, people have been really trying to hold back and not ask for too much.
How we start out here is to tell us what it cost you.
Yeah. So without this sheet, it was hard for me to tell. Now I can look at it, and so what people asked for in 2012 is here. What they got in, well, I don't know. What they received in 2012... And if I look at the request for 2013 on this green sheet, that would show me if they ask for an increase.
So it might be helpful to include on this green sheet what the agencies actually got in 2012.
Yes, we would have that column in, and then we took it out. Well, because you want to explain why?
Well, even that changes. We started with what they got in 12, and then the city sales tax agreement came through, so there was more put in the base to start 13, even though they didn't get it in 12. But that was their target going in, really. Once the review committee arranged the funds, told them what their new target would be. It's confusing. I have almost any number you want going back in time. There's only 14 columns on this
one.
So
why don't you give us that one?
Yeah. Oh, well,
in the future. You don't have to do it now.
We could give it to you, but we'd have to explain what all the columns are. But we could.
You might get fewer questions in the end.
Well, that's why we were sort of hoping you wouldn't even start looking at this until we left.
Yeah. Well, that's not really true.
Okay, Kathy,
we just asked
start.
When we should give it out.
Can I one at a time, okay?
It's just helpful for me to be able to see which ones got an increase and which ones didn't based on their actual in 2012. And
so the program impact, the program summaries, which start on page 30. Oh, sorry, 31, section 5, 31. Those comparisons are the 2012, how much they received, the net locals, how much they received from the county, and the 2013 net local is how much HSC has recommended they get, not what they requested. that they get, how much they recommended.
Okay, so I asked that question and you
explained that. Except for alternatives where we had a slight mistake. So
what was alternatives number again?
17,916.
So up from 11,916. Is that the actual for 2012?
Yes.
That's a big jump.
Joe? Just a suggestion, because it's going to be hard to crosswalk through these documents tonight. If you'd like, we will work with Kathy and Nancy on a three-column chart that shows 2012, what they actually received, 2013 as requested, 2013 as recommended.
That's,
so if you'd like that three-column, maybe there's another one in there. We'll do that, and we can crank it up pretty quickly.
I tell you what, we'll send you guys this, and you pick whichever columns you want.
I remember seeing that before. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
I remember seeing requested and recommended.
Yeah, we had it on there, and then it didn't quite match up because of the city sales tax, so we took it off. But we'll put it back.
I want to go on here. Will.
Well, I'm not done yet.
Oh.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Leslie?
I'll come back. Go ahead.
Okay. You mentioned way long ago, it's hours ago, when you started this process, that the one agency had been dropped from the list over the years. Did I hear that correctly? You said the list looks pretty familiar, except one got dropped.
For no reason of their own, but Ithaca Neighborhood Housing had always gotten just a little bit of money through our process.
Got it.
And their budget was so much bigger than everybody else's that...
there are some other changes.
Those years we had to cut.
Okay.
They took a cut.
Second,
aren't we asking them for money now?
It just seemed.
Ithaca Rape Crisis used to get money, and Advocacy Center. Those two organizations went together.
Right.
It's a few things like that have changed.
Is the review committee the final step in the process, or does that then go to your board?
It goes to our board after that. They make recommendations to the board, and then the board has to approve the recommendations or change them, and they have, and they've made some tweaks in the past, and then it is passed on to Joe, who does whatever.
So, final, just a comment, as you know, my wife is one of your volunteers, and I can attest to the way that you feed people very nicely. That's working well, so keep it up. Thank you.
Dooley.
There was no food when I was there.
Thank you. The discussion of how large some of these agencies are and what portion of their budget comes through you to us has come up in previous years, and I thought that we were going to get that information regularly. But it didn't come through either in the document or in handouts this year. So I don't think I'm the only one who remembers asking for some of this stuff before.
No.
I have a specific question on Women's Opportunity Center, which is Section 5, page 36. There's just some number I don't understand. 5.5 bridge, it says. What is that?
They had a program, which was named Bridge. The Bridges program.
What's 5.5?
FTE.
It doesn't say that.
Here. It is kind of an odd number. I guess that those were the people who were in the Bridges program, but I believe that program is gone. But I don't know what DHP stands for. I didn't...
Well, that was... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think it's a get back to you.
Okay.
And I have a question on page 30, but this may be for Joe. I'm not sure. Target request from Neighborhood Legal Services you recommended one time because...
I'm sounding like a broken record. We did not have target capacity to do it. We also hope that the setbacks that they have suffered over the past year or so because of cutbacks from other levels will reconcile itself. You've heard tonight and you heard during the Human Services meeting the other day. You weren't there for that meeting, but it was said the other day that Judge Littman has put a priority on restoring and increasing funding for this program. So in the event that happens, as we hope it will, we can take away that one-time funding.
Is your explanation somewhere that I missed it?
We didn't add explanations in the OTR boxes. on why we did or did not recommend?
That, I guess it would be nice if it were there, then I wouldn't have to occasionally ask these questions.
But that would take all the fun out of it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but I think his answer is getting better each time he does it. It's getting more smooth and things like that. I have Frank, Peter, and Leslin. Are we going to break new ground here?
Absolutely not.
Sound like the apostles. I want to go to a question Pat asked about the FTEs. Pat, I don't know if this will help address it, but beginning on page 31, where the agencies are broken down, the FTEs are noted for the agencies. I don't know if that's something that...
I indicated that I had seen that, but I'd like a summary
of everything.
If we could get it.
Okay. The... Just for future reference, it probably doesn't have to do with the coalition, but on the pages that are in Section 5, beginning with 31, the line that says net local, could we put a clarification there that the net local really means that it's taken from the pot of money that the coalition has? To have the review committee, just for clarification.
He didn't make that up, actually. The net local means county funding, and the revenue means city funding for our charts, but I don't know why.
That Kevin's on top of it.
Well, if you tie, all those numbers tie into the green sheet.
Yeah.
I mean, for those of you who like more paper, I don't know that we have to do that spreadsheet that Joe volunteered to do. The numbers are right here.
I just have
Just but the net local.
No, Pam, I have three people.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said.
Well, I have your name.
Oh, okay.
Frank, you finished? Pierstein.
Frank won't let me say it, but I do sit here in some state of confusion.
Is that a question?
No, it is not. It's a statement that introduces the question.
Oh, good.
I got this green piece of paper handed around, and I thought, boy, this one's important. It's got a lot of numbers on it, and I can look at it. But I honestly don't have the vaguest notion as to what it is. There are two columns of figures. I would like someone to explain it to me.
Okay, the green sheet are the 17 agencies that went through the review process. They're
yes.
listed, right? The first column, the first column is actually the names of the agencies.
I got that.
The second is what they requested.
So what they requested, okay.
Through our process.
Right. And what does target mean? It means that...
Target is base, it's...
That's
it's
the same way we use the word target.
You use the word target.
Okay, yeah.
And the third column is what the review committee recommended.
So there are just a few big changes and a number of little changes, and somehow it seems to me that I'd be interested in knowing why they were understanding a little bit about the big changes. I mean, why is the Women's Opportunity Center lost 40% of its funding?
No.
So they asked us. For $100,000.
Right.
But because you're right, because there's what they usually get. Was 59,464. They asked for $100,000, and we did not recommend an increase of that magnitude. We kept them at 59,464. We looked at they did lose a lot of funding. One of the things we look at is their fund balance and the monies they have available to them, and we felt at this time that they did not recommend an increase of that magnitude.
Okay, and I noticed the same thing. Is the same explanation for Catholic Charities?
Catholic Charities was given an increase.
In 2012, they started with 63,737.
Right.
And then there was some city sales tax distribution, and it ended up, they ended up with 68, as recommended in this project.
Yeah. And the Cancer Research Center, that's essentially no change. No, it isn't. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's a 10% change. What was that about?
Well, it's not really a change. You look at the request and then what the recommendation was.
Right.
Cancer Research Center had 26,390, And for next year, they have 29,695. So it went up.
It went up a little bit. Not as much as they requested, but it went.
But we don't know. But we're going to get something that shows us.
We will put the
okay. Thank you. That will help a lot. Thank you very much.
2012 column in there.
Okay.
Nancy goes on vacation.
We're back to your level.
Thank you. Now I forgot my question. Peter asked a big part of my question, and now I don't remember the rest of it. I don't remember what my question is.
Thank you.
But it was important.
Pam.
Mine was to do with. It's fine.
Okay, you're good then. I have Dooley.
Mine is related to what you were just talking about on this sheet, the Women's Opportunity Center. You said you're recommending 59,464, mm-hmm. but when I look on page 36, it says, if I understood Kevin's description of what these numbers are, that you're recommending 61,464.
Those other sheets were really, I think, those numbers were taken from documents, I think, that were before the process had ended. Kevin and I were comparing notes yesterday on them. We can give you what exactly everybody got in 2012, if that'll help. That sounds like what you're looking at. And then what they asked for 13 and what we recommended for 13. I think trying to do it from those earlier pages in the book are going to be confusing.
That would be helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you. I remember my questions now.
So, Nancy, go with the green sheet.
I have a question. And how many years have you been doing this process of listening and with your board and making these recommendations to the county legislature?
What?
No, yeah. How many years?
Well, my daughter's 25, and I think I started when she was a year and a half old, so I can't do the math, but it's a long time.
Your turn, Lisa.
But Kathy's much new. She's got the fresh blood. She's only been here about 10 years.
Seven years.
The Women's Opportunity Center, you had a slide up there about the 100,000 and 25,000. I didn't read the slide right. Is it that they were supposed to get 100,000 from the state, but they only got 25? Is that what that slide is saying?
What she's thinking, and Dami's still working on trying to get it back. She thinks it's a confusion, a problem, a mix-up, and she's working on showing them the error of their ways so she can get the 100, what she's trying to do.
What she said is, well, we were told her 100,000, but nobody actually put it in. And then she said, well, we were supposed to get it. So they said, well, it's gone. There's nowhere to get it now. So okay. That's what we were told. But things like, yeah.
And may I get a request for Greg?
I'm sorry?
May I ask Greg? Greg, this is for you. I told you I'll come back to you. Could you please, for my benefit, provide a sheet of the number of clients you served and sort of what sort of cases people come through for, like for
sure.
2013 or 2012 to date?
Yeah, I can give you open or closed cases. I mean, some cases come in and close quickly. Some stay open for years.
That would be helpful. And also, are most of those the clients people who are Tompkins County residents, or do people come from other places?
Our office in Ithaca serves Tompkins and Tioga County.
And Tioga County.
So we
and
our funding is allocated essentially, it's approximately 70%, 30%.
And do you have it broken out like Tioga, where people come from, that you
yes.
can give me that information?
Yes.
Thank you. I'll
You're
look
welcome.
For it.
Okay.
Pat?
Could I just request that the information that Leslin or anyone else has requested come to all of us?
Sure.
And let me just say that we've been writing like crazy. We'll try to get you in. But if we forget something, just let us know what we forgot. Because
yes, I might have put some notes on the back of one of the green sheets, and if I did, they could have gone away, but I don't
Not
know.
For sure.
The other thing is, I won't even bring up another thing. There a lot of things that can change some of the numbers, whether it's target and one time, and say it's a lot.
He will email you all.
I brought my iPad, but didn't take it from my purse.
I think we're finished with this section. OAR.
Well, you didn't say anything about the salaries.
Sally's,
pardon me?
You mean about the agencies in general?
Agencies.
Well, that's what I said. I said the best thing, for one thing, on our website is the Salary Benefit Survey, which is a summary. And I think agencies are trying to maintain salaries.
Most of them are there.
Salaries.
Most of the only ones I've... I'm sorry.
Right. And, well, no. And then the benefits, I think we always want to look at benefits. We've always been working for years on helping encourage something towards health insurance.
The one that's still working hard to do it is a drop in the water. And I think everybody else
to the county
has managed to come up with a wage, and they're working.
Thank you.